Whole chapters of our literary history have been left behind. Commentator Maureen Corrigan has a review of an anthology of women's writing from the 1930s, poetry, fiction, and journalism excavated after half a century.
Writing Red is a powerful anthology of women's political writing of the 1930s. The idea for it came to editors Charlotte Nicola and Paula Rabinowitz 8 years ago when they were graduate students at the University of Michigan. They had enrolled in a seminar on the writing of the Great Depression and noticed that none of the assigned authors was a woman. Didn't any women write about the hunger marches, labor strikes, and radical politics of the decade? The professor couldn't think of any. After all, historians have focused on the suffragist and birth control movements at the beginning of this century, implying that women did not engage in public discourse again until the feminist movement of the 60s. Nicola and Rabinowitz began digging for political writing by women during the 30s and were lucky enough to get research support from novelist Toni Morrison. In the musty pages of Communist Party periodicals like The New Masses and Working Woman, and black journals like Opportunity and Crisis, they struck the motherlode. They found hundreds of stories, poems, and pieces of analysis and reporting by women. Subjects ranged from the Spanish Civil War and Chinese revolutionary activity to strikes in cotton mills and garment factories and the sexual politics of the home and the workplace. Some of the authors in Writing Red are well known: Josephine Herbst, Tilly Olson. But over half the pieces were written by black and white working-class women. For reasons of academic elitism or just plain laziness, working-class writers have been left out of even the most recent feminist literary histories. The upshot is that Virginia Woolf's 1928 essay on work, A Room of One's Own, seems to be reprinted monthly, while Ramona Lowe's story, The Woman in the Window, appeared in the journal Opportunity in 1940, then sunk into the archives until Nicola and Rabinowitz unearthed it. Woolf's essay eloquently argues for the right of middle-class women to work, but Lowe's story is a strong statement about women who have no choice but to work. Lowe's main character, Mrs. Jackson, makes $15 a week as a restaurant cook. To keep her job, she obeys the boss's orders that she dress up like Aunt Jemima and fry chicken in a sidewalk window, a living ad for Mammy's down-home cooking. Lowe's writes, "She leaned against the table and looked out, and the world looked in, curiously, at the embodiment of a fiction it had created." Later on, Mrs. Jackson's children see her, she's humiliated, and the next day, she goes back to work. Though they're influenced by popular romances and melodramas, none of the stories in Writing Red have happy endings. These pieces try to stir readers to action, not lull them with fantasy. If good literature must be universal, as mainstream critics tell us, then the stories and poems in Writing Red aren't very good. They overflow with too many details about 30-cent-an-hour wages and 12-hour days. If good journalism should be objective, then pieces like Vivian Dahl's Them Women Sure Are Scrappers about the 1934 strike at the Seabrook Cannery are lousy examples of reporting. Dahl herself was jailed twice for punching the cops breaking up the picket lines. But if good writing should make people's everyday struggles and possibilities vivid, then the pieces in Writing Red are terrific. Luckily, editors Nicola and Rabinowitz are scrappers too. Their fight was worth it. Writing Red shows that women writers have a radical tradition of their own, a tradition full of energy and humor to be proud of and to continue.
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Bryn Mawr College and reviews books for the Village Voice. She reviewed Writing Red, that's R-E-D, edited by Charlotte Nicola and Paulette Rabinowitz. It's published by Feminist Press.